This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 24 years now that God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. It's right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you, as I said. I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, you miss part of it, and you'd like to get a copy of what we are talking about, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make it out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and you can mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida here, and the zip code is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you whether you want a CD or a tape. Hallelujah. So we're honored to be with you every Saturday, and we're here for a purpose. And you heard the intro to our program, Raising the Standard. We want to see the standard raised in our country. Like we talked last week about our new president and all things that are going, we want to see a new standard raised in our country everywhere, in the political arena and everything. So God's in charge. And so we thank the Lord for all that He's done. Even President Trump now in office. That's a miracle that he won. But he won. And that's because God wanted him to win. So we're honored to be here with you, and it's been, Don and I was talking about this the other day, it's hard to believe it's been 24 years. On January 3rd, it was 24 years since we started this ministry. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that, and we'll continue on to accomplish what you want. And part of our call is to teach and teach for understanding of the Jewish roots in our Bible that we have. And there's so much that the church today at large is missing because they've canceled a lot of it and nullified it. They might mention something, but they never go into any depth about it to see what God's trying to show us with everything, with God's appointed times and all that we have. And so we're honored to be here, as we said. So we hope you have spiritual ears to what the Lord's telling you today. We share some things here that I was thinking about this week a little bit, and even this morning when I got up. And so I'm going to let my dear, precious wife here across the desk from me. She's got a couple announcements to make. And then we're going to look at something very special, I think, in the Word of God for us today to learn something. I've heard a lot of teachings on what we're going to talk about, but I think we look at it through Jewish eyes. You know, I got these glasses on that I read with, and I tell people all the time, when you read your Bible, put your Jewish glasses on that you can see things in a new way. Because this book I have in my hand right here, the Holy Bible, this is a King James Version, this is a Jewish document. And so, Lord, we thank you for the preservation of this book all these years. And so we love you much, and we just trust that everyone's listening, Lord, that you'll touch them by the Spirit, your Spirit, and have them have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. And it'll improve their life, their understanding of the Word of God. They can help themselves and other people as well. So praise God for that. All right, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
We got a couple of announcements.
We're blessed to be here.
Yes.
We've got an exciting weekend.
Yes.
And I'll tell you a little bit about it. We have a guest speaker this weekend, and we're just blessed to have Dr. Bree Keaton with us, and she is an awesome prophetic woman, and wow, you can go to her website. There's just too many things I could say about her.
Might take the whole program, right?
Yes. Let's just go to Dr. Bree, B-R-E-E, Keaton, K-E-Y-T-O-N. She's with us today at 3 o'clock, and she'll be with us for 3 hours today, and she'll be with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So we're just blessed to have her to spend time and to glean from what the Lord has given her. She moves in the prophetic.
Hallelujah.
And she moves in healing and deliverance and so many things. She's written several books about the spirit of Jezebel and many other books. I mean,
lots of things.
I could tell you. I could go on and on, but you would just, if you miss it, I mean, you just don't want to miss being there if you possibly can. Dr. Bree Keaton will be with us today at 3 o'clock. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And again tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I'll tell you, we meet here in Stuart, Florida, and we're in the Monterey Plaza. It's a plaza right on Canner Highway and Monterey Road. There's a Mexican restaurant in there, and there's also a food store in there. So we're right next door to the food store, and we're in the Realtors Auditorium, and we'll be there for this whole weekend. We're there every weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're there Friday from 7 o'clock and Saturdays, and then also on Sunday morning we will come to worship God, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. Spirit of prophecy. So come if you can. Avail yourself to that. And I know you will be, I promise you will be blessed beyond measure. You'll want some of her materials. You'll want to follow her. You'll want to go and see what she's all about. You'll want to pray for her. And you may want to even sow into her ministry, because she not only does she teach and moves in all the gifts of the Spirit, carries a sword, a mighty sword, sword of the Spirit, but she also goes to many of these countries that are poor, and she brings thousands of people to the Lord. And she has a special ministry. You'll see on her website, it's with the pygmies. She has been to Africa and to she started many, many, many salvations, and they've pulled many of them out of the woods or the jungle where, they were being eaten. There still is cannibalism today.
Yeah.
And brought them to realization and understanding and the love of Jesus. And how does that happen? Somebody has to go. So she goes, and her son goes with her and their team. And so, it takes prayer, it takes work, it takes going, it takes finances. So I was thinking about this, Pastor Gene. I'm going to give the telephone number.
Okay.
And so if anybody would like to call us and get directions, it's very easy to find us here in Stuart, Florida. So we're just blessed that we have a wonderful, wonderful ministry, wonderful people who love God, people who want to know the truth. Because the Bible says, the King James Bible says, the truth will make us free.
That's right. Make us free, yeah.
Make us free. And, when you're made free, you're free.
Right.
You're
That's
free
right.
indeed. Amen. So we praise God for that. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. She has this awesome book too about deliverance,
mm-hmm.
and the power in the blood. I mean, it's awesome. I think I've read it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty thick book,
Yeah.
And you can go over it and over and over it and continue to learn. Well, the one thing that I was thinking about, Pastor Gene, because it's one thing that we certainly need in our life more than ever, and in our nation more than ever, is prayer.
That's right.
So, how often should we pray? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says, I thank my God always.
Yeah.
So that is, it says always. So
means all the time.
We
yeah.
need to be praying all the time.
All the time, yeah.
We should be ready to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We should get an unction to function how to pray. And, God gives us unctions to function in different ways, and one of them is prayer. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. So thanking God is also prayer,
mm-hmm.
is a form of prayer. So what do? We enter his gates with what? Praise and thanksgiving.
That's right.
And then we go and we let our supplications, our prayers be known unto God. Amen?
right.
It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. So he was always thanking God. Paul was, wasn't he?
That's
always
right.
In every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy.
That's right.
So, you know, and Jesus said, the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, didn't he?
That's right.
And then in the garden, he said to them, you know, couldn't you pray with me for an hour? Because what did they do? They fell asleep. So prayer is very, very, it's lots of things about prayer in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 is one of my favorites.
Okay.
Praying at all times, how? In the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert. It means we have to, we're watchmen. We keep alert. Alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. So we need to be praying for each other. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about our president. We need to be praying. There's the scripture talks about praying for those in authority.
That's right.
Over us. So prayer is a very, very important thing. And prayer was one of the main things that Jesus prayed a lot, didn't he?
That's right, he sure did.
He prayed a lot.
A whole lot, that's right.
A whole lot.
That's right.
And how are we going to know what God wants if we don't pray? When you know, we were teaching children, we used to tell them, what is prayer, you know? And simply, it's what is it? It's talking to God, right?
That's it.
And so God speaks to us also through his written word, mm-hmm. which we're going to talk about today. God speaks to us, and prayer is an important part, a very important part of our Christian life.
Absolutely.
And you know, we need to pray also the words.
That's right.
The words that are in the Bible. We can mm-hmm. pray the prayers that are in the Bible. We can apply them to ourselves, just
yes,
like
we can.
Other people in mm-hmm. the Bible applied them to themselves, you know. And we can apply them to our family or to whoever the Lord is laying on our heart to pray for. They're very important. It's very important just in our part of our Christian life. God wants us to talk to him. He wants to what? Fellowship.
That's right.
Fellowship. How do we pray? Psalm 66:17 says, I cried to him with my mouth.
Hallelujah.
And high praises was on my tongue.
That's right.
Psalm 95:2 says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of prayer.
That's right.
Praise, I mean. So it's so important. You know, I like, one of my favorite ones is 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing in the spirit. What? And I'm also going to sing with my mind.
That's right.
We can do both. How do you sing in the spirit, Pastor Gene?
In your heavenly language.
In your heavenly language.
You're only talking to God and not to man.
Yes, and you know, it's like your faucet. You turn it on and you just let it run. Let the water run. Let it run. You know, Pastor Gene says, you leave the water, I leave the water run sometimes. Let the water of the Spirit run. Let it run. Just pray. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
We tell the people in our church, stir up the gift that's within you. Because Paul told Timothy that.
That's right.
He was a young man. He had a big responsibility.
Big
Look at our president. He has a big responsibility. So we stir up the gift that was within us by praying in the Holy Ghost. And you know, when you do that, then you know, God opens up the revelation, opens up our understanding, opens up how we should pray in the English. And then we understand. We don't understand the things in the spirit. Our mind can't understand it. But when then God shows us what it is, mm-hmm. he will reveal it to us.
That's right.
What we're praying in the spirit. Because what are we praying? We're praying a perfect prayer. When we don't know how to pray for somebody, we pray in the spirit. So when we're praying in the spirit, then God reveals that. If he wants us to know, he reveals it. Otherwise, we just pray in the spirit. We don't have to know everything, every situation about everyone.
That's
God
right.
just wants us to care and pray. Because you know, if you know everything, it turns sometimes. It can turn into more than it's supposed to turn into. It's supposed to just be prayer. Not that you talk about it with anybody else. It's just supposed to be prayer. And so because God's looking for people that will want, that will honestly love him and will really want to seek him in prayer.
And you know, I think Pastor Daniel, most of the church today, the majority of the church doesn't believe in a lot of the gifts that was established way back, and it hasn't been, diminished or has not been replaced. and has not died. You know, I use a lot of terms. And yet they don't realize what they're missing, because having the ability to pray in the Spirit of God gives us power and the anointing to accomplish what God's given to us to carry out in our life on this earth. And so it's so powerful. And I just mentioned that over there, told you that in 1 Corinthians, that when we pray in our tongue, our heavenly language that God gives us, we're not praying to men, we're praying to God. And the only one that really understands us then is God. And God will give us the perfect prayer. And if we pray in tongues, and maybe you don't feel a release right away, but just continue to pray in your heavenly language. If you've got something that you're asking the Lord about, and many times He'll give you the word that you can understand in English. He'll hook it up with that so Amen. You can understand it. And then you can understand what God's trying to tell you or to help somebody else. And I know I wrote this book we always offer on here about the pictures of the Messiah. Well, there's a lot of places when I came to that, in that book, in that study, that I got stuck. I couldn't understand what the word was really trying to tell me. And so as I got in those places, well, then I'd just set my book down, my Bible, and my book I might be looking at, and I begin to pray in tongues. And many times, then the answer would slowly come. He might take me to another verse, and I'd get to that verse, and then pray some more, and then He'd show me another place to go, and I'd have a fulfillment of what God was trying to show me. Because He told me when I wrote the book not to write anything in the book that I didn't have at least two or three witnesses to, because the Bible says that a matter is confirmed with two or three witnesses. So I made sure I had that. And this is interesting what God did with this. And so some of the things are really a mystery to me. But now I look back, now it's not a mystery anymore. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God showed it to me. And I wouldn't have gotten it if I were just praying in English. I got it by the Spirit of God, praying in my heavenly language, and then He dropped something into my heart. And that's what we have to understand about it. But most of the church denies it. You know, that God's not doing those things anymore. But you know, if you look at the early church fathers like Irenaeus and some of these other men that wrote things way back, 300 years after Christ was on the earth, they told you right in those writings they had that the gifts of the Spirit continued on. They were never intended to be stopped. But we have a huge group in the church believes that God stopped it. And so I got looking at this morning a little bit over in 1 Corinthians 13. We might share a little bit with you. And if we look at what Paul had to write, see, he was Jewish. He was a Jewish man, and he loved the Lord. You know, he had glory. He knew the Torah. He knew the ins and outs and the things that God wanted him to know. But God gave him even more after he was born again and came to the Father's Son, the Messiah. And then the windows opened up. But he used all of his terminology that he had through all the letters and all regarding what? The Jewish writings and what he understood what God gave him. And so he stayed on that. He taught that to the disciples that came around him as he traveled through the world at that time and brought many, many people into the kingdom of God. And he taught them about these issues. And what happened? They went out and continued to do the same thing. They duplicated it. And they also duplicated, I'm going to say this again, they also duplicated themselves that other people could accomplish what God wanted to do through their life as well. So Paul was a teacher. I mean, he imparted. I mean, kusamandara. He laid hands on people. You know, he prayed in the Spirit. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Why? Because he needed it. Hell, if you were beaten and flogged like he was all the time by his own people, you would need that power from God also. And so he taught all these things that we have in the New Testament. And then we have a segment of the church today that we have this thought that we can take this out and not believe that anymore. We can add this. The Bible is factual from beginning to end. And so there's good things in there for us and there's bad things to stay away from. But it gives us the whole picture from beginning to end. And he did not remove anything at all. But we got people thinking that God stopped doing this or stopped doing that. But he didn't at all. And so I was reading this morning, a little bit this week, I'm reading a book right now I got that's very interesting. People don't realize this. You know, there's 13 other books that's mentioned in the Bible that we don't have any scriptures actually given from them. And we know that it was not put in the canon, but they were all Jewish writings that give us a picture of certain things. I'm reading a book about Gad the seer. It's incredible. He was mentioned in the Bible and the things that he saw. And you know, a seer was equivalent to a prophet back in those days. And there's some interesting things when you look at it. But there's 13 other books that's available from Jewish writings. And we know it's not canon, but we can learn something. And the ones I've looked at, Don and I read the entire book of Jasher. And boy, did it fill in a lot of blank places that we were wondering about in the Word of God. And so we could have that. And so I was looking at this book, and there were some things in there they talked about, the catching away, the Great Tribulation, all that. And it was things written way, 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 way back before the church came into being through Christ, you know that. And so now then the early church fathers and all, they began to realize it.
And for over 300 years, they taught these things the same way. And so now we're seeing a lot of the fulfillment even come in a greater way than ever before of the things that was going to be put in place. And God even gave the timeline through these men. And so I was thinking about this. You know, I read in part of that book of Gad, he was talking about, and we've talked about this a lot on the radio program, about one day there's going to be three books opened in heaven. And it's going to be on Rosh Hashanah, on the Day of Trumpets. And it's mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. Those books are going to be opened. And so it even clarifies those things about the book of the righteous and the book of those that are wicked, that are just vessels fit for destruction. And then we got the rest of them, the intermediates that are in the valley of decision. Have not made a decision for Christ yet. You know, they're not completely bad, but they've done things. They need a Savior. And how it's all going to be fulfilled when those books will be opened. And so we have that allusion to all that as well. And so it's an amazing thing. And I have another two-book series called The Pseudepigrapha that's available if people want to buy it. I don't have it here to sell, but you can buy it. You can find it. And it talks about all these other Jewish writings down through time. Now, some of them, they don't have the complete scriptures that they wrote because some of the fragments were missed. But the book of Gad, they have that entirely in place. And it's got a new translation in the last 5 or 6 years, I guess, or so. And it's an English translation. And it helps you to understand some things. You say, wow, even those men way back then knew what this is all about. And we got people today that are sitting in darkness. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13 because this is the chapter that most churches or denominations deny the things that God's wanting to do even today. See, I'm born again. I'm full of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
It has not died, says the Lord. It is meant to be used even today.
Yes.
All of you that are listening today, you need to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with another language.
Amen.
It's a comforter that's been sent to you. It's a helper there to help you in times of trouble. The things you don't know how to pray about, or you want to pray about somebody else, the Lord has the answers. So we pray in our heavenly language, and what do? We're speaking to God and not to man. Hallelujah. And that's what we need today. And we need a lot of that in the church today. People are doing things what they think is right. But why don't we let the Lord tell you what's right? You know, we might be in a situation, we can't find a chapter and verse per se to fit the issue that we're involved with or praying with somebody, but we can say, Lord, I need some help. And we can just stop and pray in the Spirit.
That's right.
And He can give you the answer. We heard a well-known bishop from Africa on TV here not long, and we weren't there, but we were there a few days before he left, and he was sharing and he was preaching. He stopped right in the middle of his preaching. He said, I gotta stop here for a minute. I gotta talk to my Father.
Amen.
And he'd pray in tongues. And he'd pray in tongues for a little while. And then he'd start preaching it. So then God gave him the answer what to say. Because we might have a situation, like I said, that we don't know how to pray for sure. But it says if we pray in our heavenly language, that God will show us how to pray the right prayer. And when we pray in His language, guess what? You're gonna pray the perfect prayer for every situation. And many times He'll give you part of it, or maybe all the interpretation of how to pray for someone. And that's the beauty of it. And so it builds us up. And what the Bible tells us? To pray in the Spirit.
It builds us up.
Build up your holy faith by praying in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? That's
Thank
right.
You,
so I'm asking the Lord right now to give us a little bit of revelation right here from chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Yes.
And you know, some people may think they don't, if this is not something you can understand in your mind.
That's right.
Because when I was born again before, I was going to a denominational church that didn't believe in speaking in tongues or praying in the Holy Ghost. They thought that was done away with, or they thought they had a different belief about it. But it's for today. It's for everyone.
That's
it's
right.
For every single believer. It's a gift of the Spirit to praying in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, so you don't really, until you experience it, it's hard for you to articulate it or to explain it to someone else. So, you know, some things you just, when you want, but once you receive it, then you know, because you say, I got it. And then, you know, then you pray in the Holy Ghost. And then because you're praying in the Holy Ghost, what you're praying is the perfect prayer to the Father, to God. And you know what you're doing is you're connecting. Your spirit is connecting with the Holy Ghost,
right?
That's within you. And so then God then will give you words of understanding to pray in the understanding many, many times. And many times when I'm singing in the Spirit, say I'm playing the keyboard and I'm singing in the Spirit, and then I sing in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden it's like a switch. It just switches over to English. And then I understand it, and what the people that are listening, they understand too. And then what? Then we come into agreement, because when we're praying, we need to be in agreement. See, the Spirit of God is always in agreement. So
Absolutely.
If we're all praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, we're not talking about praying and prophesying. You know, that's a different topic when we're talking about one at a time, right? But we're talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, we're praying to the Father in the Spirit. And then we get the understanding.
That's right.
And then we can all pray and we can be in agreement. See, the Holy Spirit is in agreement all the time. No, with the Holy Ghost in
no
you,
disagreement.
The Holy Ghost in me, and the Holy Ghost in everybody out there listening, he's in agreement.
And he's there to help us.
Because he doesn't lie.
That's right. He's our
but
comforter.
I like this, what it says over here, and I know where you're going to go, but in 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing.
Ceasing, yep.
It also says, quench not the Spirit.
Spirit.
See, when you, and it says here, verse almost, it says 17 says, pray without ceasing. Well, actually, 16 says, rejoice evermore. You know, we can rejoice even in troubled times.
That's right.
You know, there were people that, you look at the people in the Bible that rejoiced in troubled times. Look at Daniel. He prayed facing Jerusalem
three
in troubled times.
Day,
and, you know, he was given power. He was given authority. He had, he was protected, you know, in the fiery furnace. He was protected with the lions. And, you know, look at all these different people who sought the Lord. He, you know, even though the enemy was all around, he did not cease from praying. Always. Went,
right.
Always prayed. So it says, rejoice forevermore in verse 16, and it says in 17, it says, pray without ceasing, and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What? The Christ is the anointed Savior.
That's right.
Is concerning you. Then it says in 19, quench not the Spirit. So if we quench the Holy Ghost by not praying to the Holy, if we quench it, we're not, and we don't pray in the Holy Ghost, well, you know, we're quenching the Spirit if
That's
we
right.
don't. So we need to do that. And so right, what comes right after quench not the Spirit is despise not prophecy. Because if you allow the Spirit of God to move and you pray in the Holy Ghost like you did a minute ago, the prophetic word will come forth. And what is the prophetic word? The prophetic word is just basically the living word of God that speaks to an individual or to a group of people.
That's right.
Amen. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So here the Holy Ghost is always going to bring us good things. So
that's
we
right.
pray, we're to pray how? Without ceasing.
Without ceasing all the time.
All the time. And all kinds of
under
prayers.
Your breath. You're not going to be praying out loud. You can be praying under your breath. However, it has to be. Like if you're on your job, you can't do it at work and get in trouble. But you can pray under your breath. You can continue to be praying all the time.
You know, God, and it's not a fancy prayer. It's not like, you know, the Pharisees prayed. Jesus told them about prayer, didn't he, over in Matthew chapter 6, about because the disciples wanted to know how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, they were Jewish people. They had heard all kinds of prayers, and they had done all the prayers, all the Jewish prayers, and all the things that they do, that you do the same prayer over and over and over and over again. But God wants us to have a relationship, and so when we have a relationship with the Lord, it's going to be a prayer by the Spirit. It's going to be not just something wrote, something over and over and over again. No, it's going to be a prayer that God is
putting in your heart.
Putting in your heart for a time and a place and a year and a date and a situation. And like you said, you may be at work. Well, maybe there's somebody that's got, you just see that they're troubled. Well, you don't even have to go over. You see them. You can see with your eyes. You can hear with your ears. And you just might see that they don't look happy, you know? And you just all of a sudden just pray. You don't have
That's
to
right.
speak out loud.
No,
Lord,
pray for them
Lord,
in the Spirit.
give them a joy, Lord. You know, meet their needs, Lord. We don't have to know all the situations, but you know, when we're praying all the time in the Spirit, or just seeing something and we see a prayer, we just lift it up to the Lord. You know, God is the one who takes care of it.
That's right.
We don't. We just lift people up and situations up to the Lord.
That's right. So praying in the Spirit is so important, and so it's I can't tell you how important it is. It's just, it's amazing. But you see, we got very few ministers that we see on TV and we hear on the radio that, and denominations, they would condemn someone walking back and forth in front of the church, teaching and then stopping in the middle of it and praying in their heavenly language for a minute or two, or maybe longer, to get a release of something that God's wanting to have done. So we have to be in tune to that. And that's our what would I call it? I don't want to call it a channel, but it's our direct
power.
It's a direct link to God.
Right, it's a direct line to the Lord.
That's right.
Well, but you know, once somebody received that, then they wouldn't think it was foolishness anymore.
That's right.
Because the Bible says the foolish things, you know, he uses foolish things.
But you talk to
a lot of people will say praying in the Holy Ghost is foolish.
That's right.
They'll say, oh, you don't know what you're talking. You don't know what you're saying.
That's right.
So you know,
why do it? That's right. It's worthless. It's not worthless.
That's right.
But you see, a lot of the men that believe that and then received it all of a sudden one day, then they begin to realize the power behind it, and it changed their whole thinking pattern and their purpose that they know that God has in their lives, and they begin to minister to people in a different way than they ever have been before. And that's the beauty of all this. So I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 13 this week a little bit, about the love chapter. We hear about that a lot. And we have a word in the King James I like very much called charity, which is really, it's a love for one another, brothers and sisters especially, in the Lord. And so there's some interesting things in here. And so people's taken a few of these verses in here. In fact, I'll tell you, it's in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 8-13. And there's been so much misconception and all being taught in different arenas about this, you get totally confused. But let's just go with the Word of God. Now, I've shared this a lot on the radio over the years. Remember, we got a text here we're looking at, right, Pastor Donna?
That's right.
We're looking at a text, okay? So what we got to do to get a proper interpretation of what God's wanting us to say, like when I wrote my book, did the same thing. You have to look at the context. We have a text, the context. We may have to read several verses before, or maybe a chapter before,
or the end of the
treatise that you're reading right there, whatever, to get a context. And if you don't, then you can come up with a pretext. And we got a lot of pretext in the church today about these chapters, or this chapter right here, and the tail end of it, how important it is. Now remember, Paul was Jewish, okay? He was a Jew. He knew so much. And so he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he called himself. And so they had to know the Word of God. And he did know the Word of God, and that's why God chose him to go to the Gentiles, and Peter went to the Jews, if you remember what the Bible says. So he sent the man that knew all the things about the Jewish understanding, the prophetic implications of all these. He sent Paul to the Gentile world. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? So here we have Paul writing here. Now let's look at this and read this a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, charity never faileth, and we know that true love never fails. If we do that, what? Good things are always going to happen. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall or fail, not fall, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, they've taken that verse and they've blown that out with a pretext instead of what it really says. Now, think about, if we read the rest of this chapter, we're going to find out Paul's going to go down here later on and refer to one day that we're going to stand before God face to face, and we will. And we know he knew that was a picture of the Day of Atonement as well. But he's talking about the Jewish understanding with this. So think about this. They shall fail, okay, the prophecies. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So when trumpets comes one year and we're caught off this earth and resurrection comes, you know, we'll have no need for this anymore because we'll be put in a supernatural body. So we won't have tongues in the kingdom of God. Once I'm put in my supernatural body, I won't need tongues anymore. We can prove this. We read this chapter. So it says certain things will cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, they tried to take that in Paul's day and apply it to their day. We got people today, even further down the road, hundreds of years in the future, still pulling it out. And Paul was coming against them doing that, okay? Now, verse 9 says, for we know in part, don't we all? We know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know everything, but we can prophesy in part. We talk about when we have someone we want to lay hands on and pray for in a meeting. Well, the presbytery is the best way because you have three or four people that's been taught and trained and activated in the things of how to handle prophecy the right way. Well, then you get a picture as each one of them has a word as they go around with three or four people. Then you get a full picture of what God's trying to say to the individual that we're praying for. So we don't all know, but when we put them all together, we're going to find out more and more what God wants to say to that particular person. So it's wonderful. So it says, for we know in part, and we do, and we prophesy in part.
Amen.
Now here's the key verse that they fuss about. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now they take this word perfect. See, we got a text here now, and we got to find out what the context is telling us all this, or we're going to get a pretext. They have a pretext on this that's not accurate. But when that which is perfect has come, well, they'll try to tell you that the perfect was the canon of Scripture that I have here in my hands, okay? This is good. This writing is good. We know it. It's God's Word, and it'll never fail. But who is the perfect? What is the perfect all about? Paul's talking about his Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was going to come back one day. That's what he's saying. But when that which is perfect has come, he hasn't come yet, okay? We only know in part, we just read, and we prophesy in part. Then, what's the then? When he comes back, that which is in part what shall be done away. We won't need it anymore. And then he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. and even reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He grew up. He began to grow up and mature in the things of God. That's what we must do with all this. Now here's verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, don't we? We look through a glass spiritually. That's a dim glass. We can't see. We get a lot of the surrounding things in the background maybe, and we know in part, but we don't know understand everything. But he gives us enough to inquire, to trust him, to walk by faith, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to give us some answers and all that. So we do. We're seeing through a glass kind of darkly. But one day, we won't be looking through something darkly. It's going to be so clear to us, and that's when Yeshua comes back. For now, we see through a glass darkly, or you could say dimly. But then, here's the word then. What's the then? The then here is what? When the Messiah comes back, the resurrection and the catching away of the church. And when he comes, then it says face to face. We know that when he comes back, one day it tells us that we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. We're going to stand there before Christ out, face to face. And we're going to be judged by the things that we've done that's good or bad. And not necessarily sin, because if we were sinful and not born again, we wouldn't be standing before Christ. But he's going to look at the things. What was our motive? What was our attitude for these things that we could either get a reward for or we could lose a reward? So he says, but then face to face, and this, by the way, Paul knew this. This was a term for the Day of Atonement when the high priest over there in Leviticus chapter 16 went for on one day for the whole nation of Israel. And he did all, he had to do everything perfectly right before he went in behind that veil. And if he was accepted and came back out, well, then they had another year to walk with God. God's accepted them at that particular time. And so we see that this is a pattern of this. And he kind of hides himself away for a whole year. And then he comes out on the Day of Atonement. And so the high priest went, he was face to face before God for the people of Israel. Either they were going to be accepted or they were not. It's incredible when we think about the spiritual understanding of all this about face to face. But one day we'll stand before Yeshua HaMashiach. Face to face, and I don't want to ever be ashamed. I pray, Lord, you show me how to walk the right way, say the right things, go to the right places. Don't do anything that would bring any kind of reproach or disgrace or shame upon your name, and that I might fulfill what you've called me and my wife to do together. So I thank you for that. And so that day's going to come. It's not here yet, but it's going to come. So he says, but then. So the then is when Yeshua comes back. Now he says, I know in part, Paul said, and he did. He knew in part like we all did. But God gave him so much, didn't he? But he didn't know everything at that particular time until what? When he died, glory be to God, his grave is still there somewhere in Israel, and his body's there in the grave, but his spirit and soul are in heaven. I'm sure he's learned a lot, but when the resurrection and the catching away comes, well, then he's going to know a lot more. We'll see this right here. Now I know in part, but then, here's the word then again. What's the then? When the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, comes back to this earth and establishes his kingdom, shall I know even, think this, shall I know even as also I am known. So here's a word know, where we get our word knowledge from. We just read up here in verse 8 that knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, we won't need all that knowledge. We're going to know what. It says right here, then when he comes, shall I know all these things, even as I also am known. And known by who? By God. Hallelujah. Gets you excited to think about it. So that's when we're going to know these things. And then verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Three things. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Is charity. That we love one another, the saints in the kingdom of God. That we love one another with pure heart and all that. And so we have to have faith, abideth faith, hope. Hope is always in the future. Paul was hoping one day to see this when he thought in his day that he'd probably get to see this. He was going to stand face to face before Yeshua HaMashiach. But it didn't come. It was in the future. But he was hoping to see that. And so this face-to-face is a very interesting term that he used in verse 12. So he used his understanding with his Judaism that he grew up in and the teachings that he went through to know that this was talking about being face-to-face with Almighty God. And one day, is Yeshua God? Yeah, he is. So one day we're going to say, stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, and we're going to see him just as he really is. I get excited thinking about it. One day, they will get to stand before the Messiah, and he's going to show us all these things. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
So, just look at this. We could take this completely out of context, have a pretext, and we've done this, people's done this, and they've said this word perfect now. It's not about Yeshua. It's about the canon. It doesn't say one thing here about scriptures anywhere, does it? Is the scripture mentioned anywhere? Paul didn't mention anything. It's in the writings or the scriptures? No. He says, when that which is perfect is coming. Everybody, what is the perfect? There's only one perfect
perfect that could ever come. And his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he promised he was going to come back. That's the perfect. The canon of scripture we have here is wonderful. God gives us all the facts here. The good things, the bad things, the history, all these things. And people that had failed and people that did the right things. He covered it all. And so it's wonderful. And so like I mentioned, there's some other Jewish writings that fill in pictures with what God's trying to tell us. Like I told you, Don and I read the book of Jasher all the way through one time. Showing in Joshua's day, after Moses left, how he went into all those, the ites, and went into those cities and all, and they had huge walls, 30, 40 feet high, with giants, and with a handful of people that belonged to God, went in and conquered those cities and took them all over. And it was one city after another. And Joshua and his men listened to God, obeyed God, and he did that. Think about when they went to Jericho, you know. Here was a wicked city, had great big walls the same way, had giants in the land. And God told them to walk around that building, or that big city, one time every day. Yeah. And then they did it on the seventh day. He said, I want you to walk around the building, that big castle. It's not a building, a castle. Yeah. And he says, and then I want you, on the after you walk around it seven times, to shout and blow the shofar. And they didn't know what was going to happen. But when they did, what happened? The walls fell down.
That's right. Praise God.
So that's how they conquered. And so that's what it's all about. The perfect is God Almighty, Yeshua, his Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Paul realized that in his day. So we have a lot of misconception about these few verses and what they're all about. I'm going to go back to verse 8 again. We know that charity will never fail, even in the kingdom of God, will
That's
it?
Right.
Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. So we won't need them anymore. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. It won't be need. Won't need tongues in that
but
time.
But we need it now.
We sure need it now. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So see, they want to take out, these teachers, they want to take out prophecies, tongues, but they want to hang on to knowledge.
How can you divide them?
Yeah. So
because they're all part of the gift. They're all the gifts of the Spirit.
Right. So they say knowledge is going to vanish. Well, they want knowledge today. That's what they're all about. They want to know more and more and more. Well, the only knowledge we can get, it comes from the Messiah. So they think they're taking this all out of context here. So we won't need that knowledge.
What are the gifts of the Spirit, Pastor Gene?
There's nine
of them, right?
That's right.
And they're listed in the Bible.
Right here in chapter 12, just before this book. It's all mentioned here.
Well, maybe you need to just go over that
again.
Well,
let's just read these. And they have not vanished away. I just told you that a lot of the Jewish writings, so 300 or 400 years after Christ left the earth, those things were still operating and functioning today, and they still are. God does not change his mind. He doesn't give you something and take it away. Well, it's
so, you know, we need knowledge. Our president needs knowledge, doesn't he?
That's right.
And he needs to hear from the Lord. He needs the wisdom of God.
Amen.
To make the right decisions.
Sure does.
And the right choices.
So I'm going to go to chapter 12 with you. Just make a left turn in your Bible, and we're going to look at this.
Thank you, Lord.
Ha, here we go. Glory be to God. Where do I want to go here? Starting verse 3 of chapter 12. Wherefore, Paul says, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed.
That's right.
And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by how? By the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because no one comes until the Father draws them. Now, there are diversities. What's the word diversities mean? It means different kinds.
Different kinds.
Of gifts. But here's the key thing. But the same Spirit.
Amen.
And there are differences of administrations. We have administrators in churches and all that. If they would only look to the Holy Ghost to get things fulfilled, they have a lot less confusion. But the same Lord. Amen? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord's behind it all with the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. He works all these things through all of us. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? To profit withal. It means to profit everyone. But one to one is given the Spirit of is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
That's it.
To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So he's over here. We read that he's going to take that away. That won't happen until we're in the kingdom. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the self same, here it is, Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, to different people. Amen. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit
are we all baptized into what? Into one body. What is that? That's the body of Christ. Amen. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all we have and have been all made to drink into one spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We know that. It's not true, huh? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Hmm. But now are they the many members, yet but one body. That's incredible. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We all have a call. We might be more spiritual and grown down the road more than somebody else and grown up more, but they're all important to God. And those members, verse 23, of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more honor, more abundant honor, it says.
Amen.
And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked.
The Spirit of God will fill in those lacking parts
right.
that we need.
Amen.
Because the Spirit knows exactly what we need. He knows that we need to, he teaches us. He's the teacher.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost teaches us. And I was just thinking, Pastor Gene, about these coming together in prayer. You know, prayer meetings are wonderful.
That's right.
But we need to be in agreement, don't
That's
we?
That's right.
And you know, Jesus said when two or three come together, he's right there.
In unity.
So I believe in these days because we need so much prayer coverage every day. You know, it's not that maybe you get 100 or 1,000. That's wonderful if that can happen. But if two or three, what about a neighbor and a couple of neighbors in your neighborhood?
That's right.
What about on the telephone? A lot of people are praying on the groups on the telephone
mm-hmm.
with somebody on the phone. That's two or three, right? If you have you and somebody else and you got the Holy Ghost, you're right there. That's it. There's your two and three.
Right.
So you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and myself even, right? That's right there is two or three. So I think that God is going to put together small groups. Maybe small groups of 2, 3, 5, 10. Maybe streets. Maybe God is going to call a block prayer,
yeah.
you know, or a neighborhood prayer. Well, just think about the homes just around your house, right? Everybody has neighbors, right? Most people have neighbors. So what about just a neighborhood? I think God is going to call small groups together to pray. To pray because God wants, there should be somebody praying all the time.
Amen.
And seeking the Lord all the time. So I think there's going to be a special focus on prayer because prayer is needed. And Jesus talked about prayer much, and he is our example. You know, Jesus prayed. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He was always in prayer. He didn't ever do or say anything that the Father didn't
tell
him or show
him.
So he had to have heard from the Father or seeing what the Father wants him to do. You know, if he saw somebody and then he says, okay, that person, you know, he just, and he didn't make a big deal out of it.
Nope.
He just did what the Father told him to do. And so he had to have been hearing from the Father all the time. And I believe that we can hear also when we get lined up in that, like you said, like a circuit. When we get lined up and we don't have so much confusion and circuits in our head, our head's like a bunch of wires. And, you know, we
yeah.
have so many things. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about that. We're doing one thing and we're thinking about something else. No, we need to learn how to get focused, especially when it comes to prayer. And I just want to read this one prayer because there's a gentleman, and if you guys can go, it's on my Facebook and we post it every day. So his name is James Nesbitt, Nesbitt. I'm just going to read the prayer that he had for the 22nd day of Donald, our President Trump's presidency. You know, he's just beginning, right? 22. That's God's number, isn't it, for the Hebrew alphabet? So I would just add to this, Father God, I come to you, Father. And if people all over are praying this one little prayer, it's not just a little prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It says, Creator of days, we thank you for creating this 22nd day of Donald Trump's presidency and fashioning him in his mother's womb for this day. See, everyone Hallelujah. Has an appointed time.
Yep.
Amen. We thank you in advance for the far more exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, imagine, or think
yes.
through this president on behalf of your purpose for this nation. Yeah. I would even add for the nations. Amen.
Yeah.
Because he's going to affect the nations. He's going to affect Jerusalem and the nations. And the next paragraph is just as you created Cyrus. Cyrus, I believe that he has the kingly anointing like Cyrus had. To what? To what did Cyrus do? To build.
Yeah, and he made a big change.
To build and to change. And so this is what our president is doing. You can see that. Just as you created Cyrus and used him mightily for your purpose in his hour, use President Trump to trump the strategies and designs of darkness
Hallelujah.
In this hour.
Jack.
There's much darkness.
Yep.
There's going to be great changes made. And you know, those who are causing riots, it's not going to get any better. They're going to get angrier and angrier because you know what? Those demons are being released
That's
in our nation. But it's going to, so sometimes, many times things have to get worse before they get better. So through it is finished power. Okay, of the blood of your son. In other words, the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. It's finished, right? Move through this administration with a mighty finishing anointing. Thank you for blessing the leader of each department with great discernment in the pruning process.
Yes, Lord.
Well, drain the swamp, right?
Yep.
And restriction in this time of turning. As Jeff Sessions has finally been sworn in, bless Attorney General Jeff Sessions to bring the Justice Department into plumb line order. We've been talking about plumb line.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's prophetic. This
that's
is
right.
a prophetic prayer. Lord's been showing us about the plumb line, and in our church, on our table, our Shabbat table, we have a plumb line. Amen. Give him divine strategy.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. To stem the tide of lawlessness
yes.
running rampant in our land. This is a powerful prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We can all pray this. And as I've been praying, you know, I've added a few words. You can tell like I'm doing right now. But, you know, you can pray this. You can go to my Facebook and you can pray this again. You can pass it on to your friends and they can pray it. It says, we bless you, Father, for releasing a wave of dismantling light
yes.
through the structures of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And all who have been aligned with and profited in perpetuating and promoting that darkness.
That's right.
The light will dispel the darkness, the Bible says, right? And he finishes the prayer with the last chapter. We magnify the light and order of all that you are, Lord. O great King, your kingdom come in mighty power this day, and I pray that in the name of Christ Jesus. So this prayer is, you can Facebook me, and our Facebook is just Jean, G-E-N-E, dash Donna, D-O-N-N-A, space Hilton, our last name, H-E-A-L-T-O-N. And just put prayer on there, so I'll know who you are, because I don't make friends with everyone that wants to be a friend with me. I usually check them out. So, but this prayer is important. Or you can go to James Nesbitt, N-E-S-B-I-T, and he has a prayer for every single day. Isn't
sure.
that awesome? So I believe that there's probably others that are doing the same thing. So what are we doing? God is just joining us together. When we don't have to be in a meeting. Meetings are wonderful, and it's good that we come together. The Bible says that we shouldn't forsake the coming together, especially when we see these troubled times. But we can't always be in a meeting every single day. But so we can all join together in agreement by the media, by the things that God has given us now. You know, we didn't have the things like this in 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but we can all come together, little neighborhood prayer meetings, three or four or five people. And that's the church. When we come together, we are the church. We don't have to go to a church building to pray. Because we are the church, amen? And we
That's
have
right.
been given power and authority in the name of Jesus, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You know, so important thing, thinking about prayer,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about in Acts chapter 1, when God sent all the disciples to that upper room, mm-hmm. and they didn't know what was going to happen. He told them to tarry there. Well, they tarried for 10 days. Right. But the key thing with this, he mentions all the disciples there. He mentions James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealotes, and Judas, the brother of James. He mentioned all the disciples. And then verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord.
One accord.
We have to be in agreement, and we can't, if somebody wants to pray in tongues, let them pray in tongues, because maybe you don't believe that, but it's in the Bible. Don't question it. And some people say, well, I don't want to come because they pray in tongues or whatever. But it says, they continue with what? One accord, one purpose in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren.
And if somebody's praying in English, there shouldn't be somebody praying in tongues loud to overpower that.
Brings confusion.
It brings confusion, and that's what they were coming against, because they got so excited, that they couldn't, they didn't contain themselves. Well, we can hold back prophecy. I may have a prophecy for you right now, but God's not going to forget it. And if I say, well, if I don't say it right now, I'm going to forget it. Well, God's not going to forget it. So if you have to memorize it, then I wouldn't be sure if it was a prophecy from the Lord.
That's right.
Could have been something that you thought up in your mind.
That's
so
right.
So we can all pray in tongues together and make a joyful sound, or we can get still and then pray one at a time in the understanding, so that we can come to agreement. You can't
That's
come
right.
to agreement if there's a lot of different voices going on in the air,
That's
so
right.
You're right. We need to be able to respect the Holy Ghost, because he's a gentleman, He's a gentleman.
But I have a hard time with people telling you that the things, the gifts, tongues, is not for today. My Bible here says it is. It has not changed. And we can prove it with history, with the early people after Christ, 300 or 400 years after he was on the earth. They were still doing those things with signs, wonders, and miracles. And so we've blasphemed the Holy Ghost.
That's
we need
right.
to let him do his work. And if we do, so much more
Thank
will be
you, Lord.
Done in our lives, our friends' lives, mm-hmm. our church's lives, our country. It'll change so many things. And so we're honored to be here with you. We're down
Thank
to about
Lord.
A minute to go. So go ahead, Pastor Donna.
This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock for 1 hour. We're also on the internet. It's WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to this broadcast again if you like. And you can tell your friends and loved ones anywhere in the world, they can listen to this broadcast on WCNO.com. You can also give us a phone call at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we have Dr. Bree Keaton with us this afternoon at 3 p.m. So come, you are going to be blessed out of your socks.
That's right.
Wear socks. And she'll also be with us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. That's Dr. Bree, B-R-E-E, King, K-E-Y-T-O-N. You can check her website, and you can find out much more about her. She's an awesome, awesome prophetess of the Lord.
Okay. So we're going to close today, and I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over
Amen.
On Andros Island and the Temple of God.
Miss
we bless
you.
So we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.